Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Samach Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Samach Vov. We quote from the Mishnah, Shichvas Zaro Tameo. We were dealing with a person that established Zav status. His Shichva Zera is Tameo. The Gemara will deal with that, and we have a marking scheme that's featured on the side of the Gemara. You notice the Nosei slash Mivneh heading. Nosei, the topic heading, and Mivneh, the structural note. The trapezoid shape that you see, which we fondly refer to at times as the volcano shape, are shlavim lahazbir hodikotoni shichva zera shel zav tamea, stages in trying to explain what that phrase means. So we turn to the Gemara Lamai. With regard to what does our Mishnah teach that the zav's shichva zera is tome? Ilema lemago. If the point of the Mishnah is that the Shechva Zera of the Zav communicates Tumah, defilement, through contact, well, that's obvious. Migora Mishechvas Zera Detor. Is it any weaker than Shechva Zera, than semen from a healthy person? Semen from a healthy person, from a regular person, an undefiled person, is mitame b'mago. It communicates tuma through contact. So why would I think that the shichva zera v'zav is any different? Elo zaroi shel zav mitame b'masa. When the Mishnah says that the semen coming from a zav is tameo, it's tome even if you merely support it, you carry it without actually touching it. The Gemara rejects that. Man shamis laha de omar shichva zera shel zav mitame b'masa. Who has been heard to say such a thing? In other words, no one has ever said that. Who has ever been heard to say such a thing? Ilema haitano disanya, if you're going to suggest that it's Rabbi Yoshua in the upcoming source, we're going to show you that's not exactly what he says. So what does the source say? Rabbi Lezer, Omer Shichva Zaro Shozav Eino Metame B'maso. Rabbi Lezer says that the support or the carrying of Shichva Zaro V'zav simply does not communicate Tuma unless you have direct contact with it. But having it, let's say, in a vessel and you are supporting it, you're carrying it, the vessel is on your shoulders, that's Masa, but it doesn't communicate Tuma's Masa. Rabbi Yeshua Imer Mitame B'Maso. Rabbi Yeshua says, well, it does. The Shichva Zera of Azav is Mitame B'Maso, but he gives a reason, L'fishiev Shulo Belo Tzichsuch Ziva, because it's impossible that there aren't some Ziva droplets mixed in. You see, there are different exusions that we have been referring to. One is Shichva Zera, and another is Ziva. These are both male emissions. However, they are different from one another. So the Gemara goes on making its point, Afilu Rabbi Yeshua lo omar elo mishum tzichsuchei Ziva. Even Rabbi Yeshua, who spoke about the Shichva Zera v'Zav being Metame b'Masa, but why? Because of the presence of droplets of Ziva, the Ziva type emission mixed in. Be'inei lo omar, but isolated, be'inei means isolated, or pure Shichva Zera of a Zav. would not mitame b'masa, even according to Rabbi Yoshua. So we're back to square one. Where, or what does it mean when the, in the Mishnah that the shichva zera of azav is tome? So now we have a new approach. Of course, you can see it's a third volcano, but a very new approach. Elo Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo. Loimar She'ein Toilin Bo. That which we say that the Shichva Zera of Azav is Tome, it means that if you have a Zav that is observing clean days, and he has a ziva sighting that came on the heels of shichva zera, we would not attribute the zav sighting to the shichva zera and then say that he has not interrupted his clean days, but rather he has interrupted his clean days with a sighting of ziva, even though it was preceded by a sighting of shichva zera. If we take a look at, there's a Tosfos in the upper part of the page, in the narrow lines, e-lema. That Tosfos, if you look at the fifth line of the Tosfos, Elo Omar of Ado Bar Avo, Loimar, Shein Toilin Bo, to Masecha Zov in Tanan, Haroya Keri, Eino Mitame Bezivo, Komeis Leis, if a person had a sighting of Keri, which is semen, and then there was, within 24 hours, there was a Ziva sighting, the ziva sighting will not be a source of tumah. Shakeri poiter ziva habol achreo kol meis leis. Keri has the unique feature of exempting from tumah any ziva that appears 24 hours of that keri sighting. Avol mishenizgak letumah ozlo tiftor ashichvazera is a ziva habol achreo. However, once a person has become established as a Zav, then the subsequent Ziva sighting, even if it was preceded by Shichva Zera, we would not ascribe the Ziva, the current Ziva sighting, to the Shichva Zera. Even though, if a Zav hadn't become officially a Zav, and he had a ziva sighting which followed a shichva zera emission, we would have discounted that ziva sighting. But once a person has established himself as a zav, the shichva zera tameya means the shichva zera will not prevent the subsequent ziva sighting from being disregarded, from being ascribed or associated with the shichva zera, which under other circumstances really does neutralize the ziva. The Gemara continues. Sofar Rav Popo kamei derova lemeimar. Rav Popo thought to say that the reason that we're not toile the ziva in the keri once he has become a Zav, Aidi Chulshahu Dechazi. Now, following Rashi's approach, I realize that there are other commentaries on this Gemara. Tosfos has a very different approach, but we're going to follow the Rashi explanation of this line, which is as follows. Rav Popo wants to explain the reason why we can't toile the ziva, we can't ascribe the ziva sighting that came after a shichva zera sighting for someone who is an established zav, because someone who is an established zav, that's aidi chulsha. Chulsha means weakness. It's because of his weakness that is a result of the ziva sightings that he saw this subsequent ziva sighting. it's because of his body weakness, and it's not something that we would associate with the Shechva Zera. Omar le Rova v'hotnan gershin is gayer mitama miyad b'ziva, a person who converts to Judaism and he has a ziva sighting, his ziva sighting is considered tomei. So we see from here that there is ziva even without chulsha. Rav Papa made it sound as if the ziva sighting is a function of weakness. Here, in the case of the ger shinis guy, there's someone who just converted to Judaism. There's no sign of any weakness, and yet the ziva status is achieved. Is reached. Omar lay. So Rav Papa says back, Ein lecha chuli gadol mizeh. A person who makes the decision to megayer, to convert, and goes ahead with the conversion, that is a very, we'll say, jolting experience. And you don't have any greater example of choli, of sickness, of weakness, than that. So that the case of the gershin is gayer mitama yad b'ziva is definitely a reflection of what Rav Papa was saying. And now, again, we're following Rashi's approach, and you see we have a funny looking and volcano shape. It's a dashed volcano shape here. When the we have a note saying Tama Kivkuv Hagishon Lishlav Azeh Begmor Shonui B'Machlokis Rashi and Tosis. How to approach this line is the subject of a controversy between Rashi and Tosis. But we're going to follow the Rashi's explanation that this Elo Tanoihi is a reflection back regarding that which was said before, that there are Tanoim that in fact hold that there is Tumas Masa regarding the Shechva Zera Zav without any droplets of Ziva mixed in. It's true that at our second volcano shape we suggested this idea, but it was immediately rejected by the Gemara. However, here the Gemara says, don't reject it so quickly. It's actually a machlokes tanoim. The issue of Shechva Zera V'Zav as being metameh b'masa even without droplets of ziva mixed in. So the Gemara says, "Elo tanoihi tesanyo." Tanoi means it's a machlok, a tanaic controversy. It says, "Shechva zera shel zav mitame b'masa kol me'es le'es." Rabbi Yossi Omer Yomo. Both tanoim agree that the shechva zera of a zav communicates tumah through maso, even without you actually touching it. By the mere fact you're carrying it or supporting it on top of you, it creates tumah. And the Tanakhama says it's mitama for the first 24 hours of its emission. And Rabbi Yossi says for that day, in other words, till nightfall of the day in which the Shechva Zera of the Zav appeared. So there is a Shechva Zera emission of a Zav. Tanakhama says it communicates Tumah through Masa for 24 hours. And Rabbi Yossi says no, only till the end of the day. What's the basis of their machlokas, of their disagreement? But Shmuel. The Shmuel Rami. Shmuel raises a contradiction in Psukim. Ksiv kiyeh b'chayish asher lo yeh tor mikre laila. This is a description of someone who had an emission. And mikre laila mizmashma, he's tomei until the evening. And Uksiv, it says, Lufnos Erev Yuchatz B'mayim. Means as evening approaches, he will be in water. He'll be in a mikveh. Well, that's Mashma. Lufnos Erev, that expression sounds like there are two evenings. So how do you come to that? Well, you have a a sighting now. It could be like, let's say, the evening time, and 24 hours later, you find yourself once again in an evening. So that implies that there are 24 hours of Tumah. So that's what Shmuel teaches us, that there's a spirit in the Psukim. Man de Omar me'es le'es, the Tanakama, who said that the Chikvazera of Azav is Metam B'masa for 24 hours, Dayek Milif Nois Erev, he emphasizes, he scrutinizes that part of the Pasuk, Lifnos Erev, which was Mashma, say, two evenings, which gets you to 24 hours. V'idach Dayek Mikir Laila, the opinion says that it's a Tumah that is only till the end of the day, because he emphasizes the expression Mikre Laila, which is Mashma only until the night. Uman Dioma Milifno Serev Haksiv Mikre Laila. The opinion says Lifno Serev, what does he do with the verse Mikre Laila? In other words, the opinion that said from Lifno Serev you see 24 hours of Tumah, what does he do with the Pasuk Mikra Laila, which the other opinion held just till sundown? Amale, so he will answer, Urcha de Keri Lamasya Balaila. It's the more common form of emission for it to take place at night. So that the Mikra Laila means the Keri comes out at night. The commentaries say something interesting on this. Kishimahar al Mishkovo, Rashi says, V'dibra akosu bohive. From Rashi, I get the impression is that a person is having what we might term impure thoughts, and that's not a right thing to be engaged in to begin with. So why would the Pasuk talk about a person having, when do people have impure thoughts? Most of the time that happens is when he's on his bed going to sleep. So why would the Pasuk describe something that's unacceptable to begin with? So that's what Rashi adds, with Dibra Kosebeva, that's the nature of people. It's true that people should work on their character, on their traits, and rise above that and not think impure, immoral thoughts when lying in bed going to sleep. Nevertheless, the Torah is aware that that's the nature of man, and hence the term Mikra Laila doesn't mean the length of the Tumah, but rather it's when the Keri will be observed. When he's Mikra Laila means he's Keri at night when he's going to sleep. The Mishnah. And on the side, the topic heading reads Shmuel Hoya Nozir. The prophet Shmuel, Samuel, we will see, according to one opinion, was a Nozir. There's a Pasuk, there are actually two Pasukim that we'll be citing in our short piece of Gemara. But let's draw our attention to the Shmuel. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We've included this on the side of the Gemara. It says, V'nesativ Vashem kol yimei chayav u'moira lo yale al roshai. The prophet Shmuel, when he was born, his mother had been childless. Chana was childless for a while until he was born, and she then dedicated this child to the Beis HaMikdash. So, let's read now the Mishnah. Nozir Hoya Shmuel, Kedivrei Reb Noroi. Based on Reb Noroi, we conclude that the prophet Shmuel was a Nozir. Shneemar, the Pasuk says, Umeira lo yal al roshai. And the Mishnah explains how you see Nazirus in that Pasuk. Neemar b'shimshain, Moira. With regard to Shimshon, who lived at the time, he was one of the judges of Israel, so he's featured in the book of Judges and Sefer Shoftim. The word Mora appears. We've included the posuk on the side of the Gemara, Shoftim Perek Yud Gimel Posuk Hey. It says, and I'm reading from the posuk on the side, Ki hinoch hara violadit bain umoira lo yale al rosho ki nizir alikim ye hanar min abetin. Well, the pasuk clearly describes that the baby will be, from birth, will be a nozir. And in that context, you see the word moira, moira lo yala rosho, would mean a razor, a tar. A moira is associated with a tar in this drosha, will not pass over his head, indicating a nozir. So the Gemara points that out now. From the Shimshon Pasuk in Sefer Shoftim, the word Moira indicates in a fairly clear fashion Nazirus. So it says by Shimshon Moira, V'nemar b'shmul Moira, Ma Moira Amura b'Shimshon Nozir, just like the word Moira in the context of Shimshon is a reference to Nazirus, Af Moira Amura b'Shmul, so too the word Moira that appeared in Sefer Shmuel, Nozir. It's a reference to Nazirus. Omar, so that we see from here that Shmuel was a Nozir. Omar of Yossi, Vahalo ein mura elo shel boser vedom. The mother of Shmuel, her name was Hannah, when she was praying, it seemed she was praying, let's say, to have a child, she said that, I don't want my son that should have fear of Boser Vedom, of people. The word Moira in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, Posuk Yud Aleph, which we included on the side of the Moira, says, Nesativ Lashem, I will give him unto Hashem, Kol Yemei Chaya, for the balance of his life. Moira Loyal Al Roshay. And there it says, Moira shall not be above him, upon him. So, Rabbi Yossi says that, is it not so that his mother Chana was praying that Shmuel should have no fear of men? And that's what lo yala rosha means, Moira, fear, from Lashon Yira, shall not overcome him. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yossi. We read that already. That was the challenge to Rav Nehoroi, who mentions that Shmuel was a Nazir. So Rabbi Yossi is challenging that and saying, no, where do we see Nazirus? Shmuel was the product of his mother's prayers that he, this son Shmuel, should not have fear of people. So that's what Moira means. Moira is an expression of fear, yirah. Nothing to do with a razor. Omar Levram Noroi, Valo Kvar Nemar, Vayomer Shmuel Ech Elech, Vishama Shol Vaharakeni. We see, historically, we see in the scriptures that Shmuel was sent on a mission to anoint David HaMelech, and he was fearful that the king Saul, Shol HaMelech, would get wind of it and attempt to kill Shmuel for going off to anoint David while Shaul was still the king. So Shmuel says to the Almighty, how can I go? Shaul will hear of this scheme, and he'll kill me. Shekvar hoya olav moira shabosir vadam. We see in this pasuk that he actually did have the fear of King Shaul HaMelech. So, if Hannah, who herself is considered a prophetess, a very, very great individual, and if she was praying that Moira Lo Yal Al Roshoi, or I should say, Kol Yemei Chayavu Moira Lo Yal Al Roshoi, that fear should, if you're going to translate Moira as fear, So then her prayer was not fulfilled. And that's highly unlikely that she, who was a prophetess, such a great woman, that her prayer wasn't fulfilled. So that when you come to the Pasuk, if you're going to translate that as, there should be no fear over him, but we know he did come to be fear-struck. He was fear-struck from Sheol. Therefore, the term Mura indicates being a nausea, as there will be no razor. Mura is a lotion of razor going over his head to cut his hair because he is a nausea. The Gemara. Omar le Rav Lechiobre. Rav gives some advice to his son Chia. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. And here we have a discussion that doesn't seem to be related to Nazirus, certainly in no obvious way. Nevertheless, he says, Rav tells his son, Chatofubrich, grab the opportunity to be the reciter of the benediction, and not to be satisfied with being simply one of those that answers Amen, but initiate the bracha. And the case that Rashi makes reference to is, if you find yourself eating with two other gentlemen, you have a threesome that ate a sufficient amount of bread, so there is a zimun practice that maybe you're familiar with, where one person in a sense or in effect recites the Birchas HaMazon, and the two others who are sitting there would listen to it and answer Amen, and that would be their Birchas HaMazon, the fact that they listened to a bracha and answered Amen. Well, any one of them could have led the bracha, could have been the reciter of the bracha. So Rav is saying, if you're in a position like that, you're one of three people, Chatof HaBrit, grab the opportunity to be the one that says the bracha. V'chein omer le Rav Huna le Rabo Brei. Likewise, Rav Huna instructed his son, Chatof HaBrich, grab the opportunity to be the reciter of the bracha. The Gemara asks, Lememra de Mevorech Odif, are you suggesting then that the one who leads in the recitation of the bracha is better than those who answer, who respond? V'hotanya, here we have a source. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Godol Ha'ina Amen Yosir Min HaMavorech. Greater is the one that answers Amen more than the one who initiates the benediction. V'yomel Erev Noroi HaShemayim Kachu. HaShemayim is an expression. It's like he swears. He swears that thusly it is. The idea that leading, the initiating of the bracha is a greater practice to pursue than sufficing it for yourself with the mere answering of Amen. So the Gemara says that this issue you can see from an aspect of life. So where do we see this, that Amen is greater than initiating the bracha? So Omer Rav Noroi says, HaShemayim Kachu, it's an expression we said of swearing. Teda Sharei Gulayrim Mizgarim B'Milchama V'Giborim Notzchin. In battles, the Gulayrim, they, according to Rashi, Gulayrim are the weaker ones. They initiate battles. And then the strong men, the warriors, come and do the cleanup act. So the final touches is really the sign of victory. And they're the ones that collect all the booty. So we're saying that we're paralleling Bracha Amen to weak soldiers and warrior-like tough soldiers. So that, again, Sharei Gulayrim Mizgarim B'Milchama, they arouse the war, they initiate the war, those are the weak ones, the regular weak foot soldiers, and then V'Giborim, the warriors, the coming in armor on their horses, Notzchim, they do they achieve the victory, and the victory is ascribed to them, even though the we'll say the dirty work or the essential battle work was done by the others. So we see here the praiseworthiness of those that do the final act, and hence the parallel to Omein coming after the Brocha. So, we saw Rav and Rav Huna telling their respective children that you should jump at the opportunity to say the Brocha and not be satisfied merely with answering Omein. And here you see the opposite, that greater it is to answer Omein than to be the initiator of a Brocha. The Gemara responds saying, Tanoihi, the matter is a machlokes tanoim, this sanya. Here we have a source that says that Echod ha-mevorech ve'echod ha-oino omein b'mashma elo she-memarin la-mevorech tchilos. Here you have a Tanaic source that says that whether it's the making of a brocha or it's the recital, the response of the omein, they're both included in the pasuk. Now Rashi quotes the pasuk that says God l'shem iti u'neroi memo shmo yachtov. So the expression Gadlu l'shem iti, let us rise up to Hashem together, that is a reference to the recitation of a bracha. And Uneroi Memo Shmo Yachtov, the second part of the pasuk, let us raise his name together, that is the Omein. So that the earlier point in the pasuk is the Gadlu l'Hashem iti, which is associated with the bracha. So the source is telling us Shememarin l'mevorech tilo, the giving of reward is given first to the one who recites the bracha. So the tanoi, the machlokes tanoim that was referred to was, on the one hand you have Rabbi Yossi saying Godol Hoine Omein Yosef Mevorech, and this second source that says Mimarin La Mevorech Tchila. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Omar Rebbe Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, Torah sages and their pursuit of Torah causes the increase of peace in the world. Shenemar, the Chol Bonayach Lumude Hashem, V'Rav Shlom Bonayach. You see a reference to Shalom, to peace, through the Bonayach. There are other versions of this where the Gemara adds, the other version adds what you're familiar with maybe from the daily liturgy, Al Tikri Bonayach Ela Bonayach. Don't read it as your sons, but rather your builders. Those who study and build up Torah, they are the ones that are responsible for Rav Shalom, for increased peace in the world. With this, you can see that with the Siyata Dishmai, with the help of the one above, we have successfully completed Maseches Nazir. And it's our firm prayer and hope that we are that we merit reviewing the Masechta. And Amir Tzashem will meet again in the next Masechta, which is Maseches Soita. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.